If you have your Bible with you this morning, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be picking up, looking at verses 7 through 11. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. As you turn there, I think it's important for us to understand what we're going through right now in our spiritual lives. I've seen recent surveys results that are reporting that a large number of people are reporting that since the pandemic has started, their Bible intake has decreased, their time in prayer has decreased, their spiritual life has become a lull. And I hope that this passage will awaken all of us to the importance of pursuing Christ. Now, Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, said that he pressed on toward the goal, toward the upward call of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, is shaking us from any idea that we can arrive to a place of spiritual complacency where we've grown enough spiritually, where we don't need to grow anymore, that we've pursued God enough, we don't have to pursue Him anymore, or that we are sufficient in ourselves. There's an expression going on in our culture today where you say, "You're enough." The New Testament makes abundantly clear that none of us is enough, but God is enough. And so Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word. Where your Son speaking to us would have us stirred up into the pursuit of drawing near to you. And we do confess that so often we are tempted to spend our time and our passions in so many other ways, that when problems arise, we seek to air them out publicly or on social media rather than bringing our burdens to you, knowing that you care for us. And I pray that this text would be a motivation for all of us to passionately pursue, that we would draw near while we can. That those who do not know Christ in a saving way, that they would draw near, that they would call upon Him today. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Jesus begins first by commanding us that we are to pursue God. This is not just in the context of prayer. While yes, it does address prayer, it addresses the totality of the Christian life, that we are to persistently and passionately draw near to God. And each of these commands, ask, seek, knock, are in the present imperative, which means that these are present, ongoing realities for the life of the believer. It is not that we ask once, we draw near once, and then when we say we're done with this, it is an ongoing pursuit of God in our lives as believers. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. One commentator puts it in the context of a parent-child relationship. Well, when you need something and you're in the room with your parent, you ask them. If you're in the room and you realize mom or dad aren't there, you go and you find them. And if they're in another room, you knock so that they will open to you. No, Jesus is indicating the nature of our lives, that we are not to be passive in our lives as believers. We are not to have a spirit of indifference in our pursuit of God. We are continue to ask, we are continue to seek, we are to continue to knock. Sometimes in our prayer lives, we pray about something once, and when God doesn't immediately answer our prayer like a genie from a lamp, we assume that he doesn't care. But God has invited us to draw near. But not only do we have a pursuit of God, God, we have the promise of that pursuit. This is not like the conquistadors looking for the fountain of youth only to come up empty, or looking for El Dorado and finding only jungle. Jesus promises us when we pursue God like this, when we have a passionate, persistent pursuit of God, there is promise to it. He says, ask and it will be given to you. He doesn't say ask and it might be given to you. Elsewhere in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that whatever we ask for in his name, we receive. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. I don't know the spiritual state of everyone in this room for certain. Only God knows. I don't know the spiritual state of any of you that might be watching from home, but I can tell you this promise. If you seek the Lord and his salvation, you will find it. Nobody who has ever sought God and sought to know God has been denied. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone. No exception. You might be thinking of yourself right now. You might be thinking, I fall in that group you're talking about earlier. I haven't been reading my Bible enough. I haven't been praying enough. I don't feel I'm worthy enough to draw near to God. Notice what Jesus says. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. There is no exception. When we draw near to God, he draws near to us. God is so much better than we are. And Jesus argues from the lesser ourselves to God. He gives really almost a parable here to give us a greater confidence in this promise. Yes, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone. Now, they look similarly on the outside until you go to take a bite and you bust your teeth on the stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent, a poisonous serpent. And everyone listening to this, the disciples, the crowd would say, assuredly, no, we would never do that to our children. And Jesus, knowing that, continues with this: if you then who are evil, and this should be a check for all of us, so we might be tempted, I'm not evil, but what Jesus is getting at is we are self-centered, we're self-interested, compared to God, and in the eyes of God, we are all sinners, we are all evil, and yet, even in our selfishness and our self-interest, if our child comes to us and says, Mommy, Daddy, I need a snack, or if your grandchild comes to you and says, I need a snack, you're not going to the laundry room and getting him a Tide Pod, you're going to go and get him a snack. No matter how indifferent and selfish you might be, no matter how perturbed you are at the disturbance of your child, when they ask you for something, you're not going to give them something else that is going to be harmful to them. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We've seen the pursuit. We've seen the promise. What is the prize of this pursuit? What are these good things that Jesus promised? We have to look to the Gospel of Luke. Luke gives us the parallel to this. And he shows in Luke 11, verse 13, paralleling. I'll begin in verse 10. Jesus begins in Luke 11, 10. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What Jesus is essentially telling us, that when we seek to know God, when we seek to draw near to God, God freely gives of himself to us. If you aren't a believer in Christ, when you call out to the Lord in salvation, the Spirit comes into your life. You are no longer an old creation. You're a new creation because of the mighty working of the Spirit. And the Spirit doesn't come to live in you temporarily, but permanently, because the God our Father freely gives of Himself to us. And we understand how the Spirit could be described as these good things from Paul's teaching. The Spirit that comes into us produces all these good things in us. We think of the fruits of the Spirit: joy, peace, patience, kindness, love, gentleness, self-control, those things against which there is no law. When we draw near to God, He comes into our lives, making us more like Him, which makes the Christian life all the more remarkable. Our Christian life isn't one set upon empty, repetitive rituals. Our Christian life is a genuine relationship with our Father who loves us. Just as we pursue others in relationship, we try to get to know them and draw near to them. Those of you that are married, you have spent years getting to know your spouse better and more. You didn't say, "I do," on your wedding day and think, "Well, I know you well enough," and go your separate ways, even though you're married. And so true with the Christian life. We have a pursuit. We have a daily pursuit. The Christian life is not one that we are to be contented with where we are. We don't reach the point where we think, I'm already there. As I referenced earlier, Paul points out that this was his goal. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." We must pursue Him. Ask yourself, are you pursuing Him? Is it your supreme desire to know Him better, to draw nearer to Him? We think about all the uncertainty of this life. We don't know who to trust on the news. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. But in the midst of all this uncertainty, God gives us a greater certainty. We are so tempted to focus on the things that lie below. Jesus encourages us to turn our eyes upon Him, to pursue Him daily, passionately. And in that we have a greater certainty that whatever tomorrow might hold for us, and none of us knows what tomorrow might hold. Things could be better tomorrow, things could be worse. But we know that ultimately He has promised that as we draw near to Him, as we seek to know Him, He will answer our prayers. The psalm says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And what that means for us is that when we delight ourselves in that, that becomes what we desire. And when we delight ourselves in God and all that He is for us, He gives more of Himself to us. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. Later on this year, I'm going to be doing a series on the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But one of the things that is clear is that we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are commanded not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is no way to do that apart from a passionate pursuit of God. To have our hearts and our lives completely open to Him, to desire to draw near to Him, to know Him better. And the great thing is, as I already said, when we do this, He does not disappoint. There are so many things in this life that can disappoint us. our friends, our family, our jobs. The news can be disappointing. Christianity is no scavenger hunt. And when we do pursue Him, and I would encourage you, despite whatever is going on in the world, whatever is going on in your life, when you leave here, don't think, well, I've got church done for the day, and leave it at that. Make this an encouragement to draw near to Him. We need Him. We need His presence. We need His support. We need His strength. We need all these good things that He has promised us. If we would only ask for them more than we need air, more than we need food, more than we need money in our bank account. Yeah, I think the temptation for us is that in our uncertainty, we turn our focus on those things of eternal importance to things that are only temporarily important. So let us pursue Him. Let us remember the promise. Everyone who asks receives. No matter how vile you may be, no matter how unworthy you may feel, no matter whether you missed your quiet time all last week or last month or the last 3 months, if you seek to draw near to Him, He will draw near to you, because it is not your goodness that merits you Him drawing near to you. It is His goodness. It is His promise. He has not promised us based on our personal qualifications. It's not as if we're applying for a job to be a friend of God. God has deemed to come near to us in Christ, who is indeed a friend of sinners, who has died the death our sins deserve, so that we would have the promise that everyone, without exception, who asks, receives. That everyone who knocks, seeks, finds, and everyone who knocks will be open. One of the glorious things is, it's not just us doing the knocking. We see in that Revelation that Jesus also knocks. The church in Laodicea, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone who opens, I will come in and sup with him." What a glorious promise. Because it is not simply us trying to grasp our way to God and trying to draw ourselves, pull ourselves to a God who wants to be distant from us. It is God right now. If your conscience is getting at you, it is God knocking at your door, inviting you to draw near to Him. Because this promise is not that we have to try harder. It's that God is waiting for us, like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, ready to wrap His arms around us and receive us perfectly, although we have no right in ourselves to anything. And when we do that, His love is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We have a joy, we have a peace, we have a patience that nothing in this life can touch. How are we going to face tomorrow? How are we going to face next week? How are we going to face next year? The only way we will make it through any of this is through pursuing Him, through drawing near to Him, to the one who has made us His own, that we would draw near to us. So I ask you this morning, are you pursuing Him? Have you ever started? Because it's easy to go to church without ever having pursued God. It is easy to go through all the motions of what we do without having a heart open towards God. I ask you this morning, have you started the pursuit? If you haven't, I would invite you during this time of invitation, pursue Him now. Call upon Him. He will answer you. He will pour His love into your hearts. If you're a believer and you can say, "Yes, I have begun the pursuit." Have you become indifferent in that pursuit? Have you gotten off on the sidelines? Have you allowed so much of what is going on in life in this world to rob you of the joy of that pursuit? Go on in that pursuit. Don't let the uncertainties of life blind you and blur your vision to all that God has promised you. Draw near to him in this season. This season of life should not be one where our spiritual life cools to a cold, but it's one where we should draw near to God, and it's one where we must encourage one another as the day draws near. And I tell you, when you pray here or at home or anywhere, God hears, and he will answer, and he will give you more of himself than you can imagine. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word, and do pray that it would stir us up in our spiritual lives, that we would turn our eyes upon Christ, that we would fix upon him and the promise that we have in him, and that we would spend every day drawing nearer to him, drawing closer to you, as we know that every day of our lives is one step closer to our home in heaven with you forever. And we do pray that if there are any in here or watching online who have not begun that pursuit, that today they would, that they would call on him and that you would answer, that you would save them in a powerful way. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.